In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, every year, Holy Mother Church presents for our consideration the different texts of the liturgical year with all the richness and beauty of our faith that they manifest and teach us about. These texts are given to us for our continual contemplation and meditation, but also for our instruction. Almighty God knows what virtues we stand in need of, and so, like a good father, he brings them to our attention again and again through the texts of the Holy Liturgy. The liturgy is the renewal of the mysteries of our redemption, won for us through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, and thus the source of all graces, virtues, and blessings. By the repetition of the sacred texts every year, Holy Mother Church, like a good mother, continually brings to mind the virtues which she encourages us to practice, but then also, through the Holy Liturgy, transmits to us the grace without which we could not practice them. What virtue then, does Holy Mother Church put forth today for our consideration? While there are, of course, like in every Mass, several that we can point out, the one that seems to jump out is that of patience. Give peace, O Lord, to them that patiently wait for thee, that thy prophets may be found faithful and hear the prayers of thy servant, the introit instructs us. And St. Paul tells us in his first epistle to the Corinthians, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This holy waiting that St. Paul enjoins us to practice is none other than the virtue of patience. But what exactly is this virtue of patience? The patience of man, teaches St. Augustine, which is right and laudable and worthy of the name of virtue, is understood to be that by which we tolerate evil things with an even mind, that we may not, with an uneven mind, desert good things through which we may arrive at better. Patience is a moral virtue. It is a kind of fortitude, the cardinal virtue, which helps us to resist hardships and overcome difficulties in the accomplishment of what is good and pleasing to God. Fortitude helps us to regulate our passions, those lesser powers of our soul which are created by God and have a proper end, but also which are rebellious and disordered since original sin. Faced with difficulties in doing what is right, fortitude gives us the necessary courage to forge ahead in the accomplishment of good, but with the right measure, avoiding the defect of cowardice on the one hand and the excess of audacity on the other. What then, you might ask, about patience, which I would add you have been admirably exercising during this long introduction. And so patience, as I mentioned, is a kind of fortitude. It is even a specific part of fortitude which helps us to practice that cardinal virtue. When he treats of this virtue in his Summa, St. Thomas quotes St. Augustine, "A man's patience, he says, it is by which he bears evil with an equal mind, that is, without being disturbed by sorrow." Sorrow is one of the passions of man's soul, which arises when we perceive an evil present. For example, if one loses one's job and can no longer provide for one's family for the moment, or a sickness, or some other evil that introduces sorrow into our soul. Sorrow is a kind of pain, as St. Thomas also teaches us, and which we ourselves experience. And as such, it can disturb us, and depending upon its intensity, can perturb our normal way of acting and even prevent us from acting at all. This is why we need the virtue of patience. Patience is the virtue which inclines a man to endure present evils so that he may not be unreasonably sorrowful. Yes, dear faithful, we can be unreasonably sorrowful about the evils we have to undergo. We can let these evils affect us too much, and that is a bad thing. If, for example, our favorite sports team loses, it is unreasonable to let sorrow ruin our evening. It would be too much. The sorrow is excessive when compared with the corresponding evil because That is not a serious thing to be sorrowful over. Moving on to examples that might actually be of use to you, when others do not treat us as well as we think we deserve, when another driver cuts us off in traffic, when we have to bear with the faults and shortcomings of others, when someone leaves the milk out and it goes bad again, all of these evils will cause the passion of sorrow in our soul, but the virtue of patience will help us to bear with these evils and to not let them take away that most precious and important commodity of our soul, of our spiritual life, that is to say, peace of soul. Our peace of soul is indispensable to our spiritual life and to advancement in the spiritual life. And so let us not let our enemy, the devil, take it away when the trials of impatience present themselves. The motive of our patience is, of course, the love of God, which should be the motive for all that we do and which will bring us to our eternal home. The essence of patience, says a Thomistic commentator, consists in supporting for the sake of the future life all the troubles that come to us unceasingly in the present life, whether they be caused by life's own whims or by the actions of others in dealing with us. Yes, the many whims of the circumstances of our ever-changing lives are enough to destroy our confidence in God if we do not have the virtue of patience. Tossed about on the waves of passion which arise when this or that does not go our way, we will be slaves to our own impatience. This is why our Lord says to his apostles and to all of us, in your patience you will possess your souls. In your patience you will possess your souls. Possess means be the full master of. And how many times in impatience have we realized that we are precisely not masters of our own souls? The greatest happiness of anyone, says our holy patron, St. Francis de Sales, is to possess his soul. And the more perfect our patience, the more fully do we possess our souls. Dear faithful, if we ask ourselves, how must I practice this virtue of patience? Let us look no further than our Savior's example. His patience in suffering and death is the model and source of our own patience. Let it be, then, the frequent subject of our own meditation, contemplation, and prayer. Call often to mind, writes again St. Francis de Sales, that our Savior redeemed us by bearing and suffering, and in like manner we must seek our own salvation amid sufferings and afflictions, bearing insults, contradictions, and troubles with all the gentleness we can possibly command. Do not limit your patience to this or that kind of trial, but extend it universally to whatever God may send or allow to befall you. Some people will only bear patiently with the trials which carry their own salve of dignity, such as being wounded in battle, becoming a prisoner of war, being ill-used for the sake of their religion, being impoverished by some strife out of which they came triumphant. Now, these persons do not love tribulation, but only the honor which attends it. A really patient servant of God is as ready to bear inglorious troubles as those which are honorable. A brave man can easily bear with contempt, slander, and false accusation from an evil world, but to bear injustice at the hands of good men, of friends, of relations, is a great test of patience. And this beautiful teaching of our holy patron is from his chapter on patience in the Introduction to the Devout Life, which I encourage you all to read, as it is full of holy wisdom and practical counsels for us to follow. And lastly, dear faithful, during this difficult time for the world and the church, let us pray to God that he might, as we prayed in the introit, give peace to them, that is to say, to us, to the faithful, who patiently wait for thee, that thy prophets, that is, as Dom Guéranger says, the pastors whom the church sends to